the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 737. Gracious Lord, incline thy ear, my request vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Hymn 737.
Thank you. together from God's holy word, Genesis, part of chapter 14 and chapter 15. Genesis chapter 14, and we'll begin reading at verse 12. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Anah. And these were confederate with Abraham. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobath, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him, after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him, at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and a portion of the men which went with me, Anah, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Cadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us and help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious and almighty, merciful Lord God in heaven, we gather in thy earthly courts on this another Lord's Day. We do pray that we might be like John on the Isle of Patmos, found in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Lord, how needful we are of thy gracious presence and influence over us each and over our worship this day. For we are poor sinners. And Lord, we are so unfit and unworthy and unable to worship thee rightly. Lord, we do pray that thou would put within us each that spirit of true worship. Lord, that thou kindle that flame in our hearts, if it be there. And Lord, if it's not, put it there, we humbly pray. And O Lord, we do ask that thou grant us that spirit of true worship and praise this day. That as we gather in thy house and worship thee, that it may be unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Lord, we pray that thou work mightily within each heart, that thou give us that spirit of true prayer and supplication, that our opening hymn may indeed be the true desires of each soul here. Give me Christ, or else I die. Oh Lord, not just to sing it with the lips, but to sing it from the heart, and with the understanding, as a sinner, lost, ruined, guilty by nature, yet looking away from self and looking unto a precious Christ. Oh, may a precious Christ be lifted up this day. May sinners, by thy grace, be enabled, even compelled, to look unto thee and to live. Then do draw us away from ourselves and away from the evils of this earth, and do lift us above the reach of inferior things. Do grant us a sense of thy presence amongst us. Oh, to stand in our midst and say, peace be unto you. Oh Lord, we pray that thou would have mercy upon us. For we cannot keep ourselves alive. We cannot put ourselves in that right spirit. And our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. Oh, but we thank thee for that throne of grace, that mercy's ground. Oh, that door of mercy open even in this dark and evil day. Oh Lord, may we each be found approaching that mercy seat sprinkled with blood. Oh, but thou said, there will I meet with thee. May it be indeed this day, this place, a meeting place. Oh, between heaven and earth. Oh, may a precious Christ be known and felt in our hearts. Christ revealed. Christ made precious. Oh, for unto you that believe, he is precious. Now, Lord, do give us that faith mixed with our hearing this day. Oh, that we may be found true believers on the Son of God. Lord, we are often found with an unbelieving spirit. We confess it as that sin which would make thee to be a liar. And Lord, what a dreadful sin that is. Oh, do save us from it. Oh, to be found believing that report of thy dearly beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Lord, do send out thy light and thy truth this day. Send forth thy Spirit. May there be an outpouring in our hearts and in our midst. May the love of Christ be shed abroad in hearts. May there be a flowing together to the goodness of the Lord this day. May there be that flowing together between the pulpit, the desk and the pew. Satan, banished from this place, shut us in with thyself. Lord, do us good, we humbly pray. Leave none out. May there, if there are those who have come indifferent, cold, lifeless, those, Lord, who are here but do not want to be, if there are any here, Lord, in such frame of mind, do appear for them. Oh, Lord, we plead that thou would have mercy upon them and awaken them, quicken them into newness of life. Oh, to open their eyes that they may see the danger and be found fleeing for refuge to that hope set before us. Lord, we pray, have mercy upon us. And empty, send us not away. Oh, do feed us with that bread of life. Lead us to that fountain of living water. Oh, to draw water from that well at Bethlehem. Lord, we pray that thou would pour out thy love. Oh, that we may be partakers. Lord, we pray that we may have our evidences confirmed. Oh, that those things, Lord, may be stirred up again in hearts. That if there are any we're feeling lukewarm, oh, do breathe in that breath of life. Oh, Lord, we do ask that thou would have mercy upon us. And we do thank thee for the multitude of thy mercies. Truly thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Lord, we thank thee for every mercy and blessing, in providence and in grace. We pray for our friends expecting the birth of a baby. Oh Lord, we commit them into thy hand. May life be given and life be spared. And we pray that the little child may be one of thy dear children, bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord their God. Oh Lord, and be with the family and do bless them indeed. We would not take these things for granted. We live in a day of many medical advances, oh, but we look to thee. And we look to thee for all needed help. And we look to thee for mercy in these things. And so, Lord, we do pray for each of the friends who meet here. And we pray, Lord, if there are any unable to be here this day, that thou be with them where they are. Pray for any in affliction, that thou art draw near and be with them. Pray, Lord, if there are any in trouble, oh, do be that very present help in trouble. May we know those everlasting arms, bearing us up, carrying us through. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou grant direction to any who seek it. Think of the rising generation, the children, the young people, with some with new things in their pathways. Some with choices to make, decisions, some with disappointments. Lord, we pray that thou sanctify and use things that we pass through, our disappointments, our joys, whatever state or case we're in. Oh, may the Lord himself be with us each. So Lord, do comfort any that feel cast down, any souls feeling dejected. Oh Lord, those buffeted by Satan, you know, struggling with temptation, Satan oppressing, may we be found turning to thee. Do make that way of escape. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. May it be so, dear Lord. Leave us not to be a prey to Satan. Be that wall of fire round about us, the glory in the midst. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray. We pray, Lord, for parents bringing up children. Do give all needed wisdom and grace. Be with any, Lord, dealing with the world, in business, in school, in whatever walk of life, that we may be in the world but not of the world, kept by thy grace, but that we may be those lights shining in a dark world, that thou hast said, ye are my witnesses. Oh, may we be our right witness. Leave us not to bring reproach on thy name, but in all our dealings, May the fear of the Lord be upon us. Oh, may, Lord, we be kept by thee. Oh, that the world may see a difference in us. And Lord, if there are those doors of utterance opened, do give us a willing tongue to speak of that hope that's within us. Oh Lord, we pray that none of us may be found ashamed of thee. Oh Lord, we pray that thou help us to stand firm. Help us, Lord, hold us up. And grant us, Lord, that close walk with thee, that we may feel thy gracious presence. Oh, that our sins may be blotted out as a thick cloud, that we may feel thy smile upon us. Do shine into our hearts, shine into our pathways. May we walk in light and in liberty of the gospel. Lord, we pray that thou be with us then, and do forgive us our sins. Oh, how many, Lord, we cannot number them. Oh, but we do plead that precious blood that did for sin atone. Oh, do wash us and make us clean. Take our souls, plunge them in that fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Wash us free from every sin. And grant us, Lord, that robe of righteousness at that great day. Oh, to be found a guest at that marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, leave none out, pass none by. Oh, Lord, we pray that not a hoof may be left behind. So do have mercy upon us. Do pardon, forgive all that we ask amiss. And Lord, we often fail to ask for those things that we should. Oh, we plead that thou grant them to us. For thou knowest, Lord, all things. Thou knowest our poor minds, we are but poor, feeble flesh. Do have mercy upon us. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 990. Jesus, now thyself reveal, manifest thy love to me. Make me Saviour, make me feel all my soul's delight in thee. Hymn 990.
Turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. And with the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Genesis chapter 15 and the first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. After these things, this is a wonderful promise. But what are these things that have taken place in Abraham's life? After these things, the word of the Lord came. Well, we read a little of it, didn't we, in chapter 14. There had been Lot, his nephew, taken captive, and Abram pursuing with his servants and defeating those kings and taking back all those things that were spoiled. And then the dealings with the king of Sodom, who sought to reward him. After these things, and Abram, in his heart, he had made a vow that he wouldn't receive from the hand of man a reward. He was looking to the Lord for everything, and he stood firm to that. And I'm sure, naturally speaking, that there was a loss, if you like, in doing what was right. Many treasures to be had, yet he remained faithful. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. The Lord's mercy in coming right where his people are. Because no doubt, from the words that the Lord spoke, Abraham was fearful, fearing repercussion from those kings that he had overcome, fearing that there might be retribution, they might gather themselves again, angered at what he had done, fearing that they may come and pursue after him. And what of turning down that reward? You know, if the Lord helps you to do what's right, don't be surprised if it's tried. If Satan comes in and seeks to stir up your heart, it would have been easy to take that gift. Would have been, and look where you might have got to. Maybe this is the Lord's hand for you to gain providentially. All the things that Satan uses, those subtle workings of Satan. You know, the continual buffeting, how he chirps in our ear continually, particularly when we've had to give up something, or we've had to forsake something, or do without something. How he seeks to make way with us. How he seeks to trouble us. But, you see the love of God in this opening verse. He didn't leave Abraham to lie any longer with these fears and doubts, with these troubles that the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not. And more than that, there's that personal fear not. Fear not, Abraham. Oh, may that the Lord give us those personal applications of his word in our hearts. Oh, when he seals a fear not in your heart. Fear not, and he says your name. Oh, the word of the Lord enters so powerfully into your heart by the Holy Spirit. It is yours. He makes it yours. Oh, he's given me a promise. He's given me something to lay hold of. Something out of his word, personal. Well, we want to be, don't we, partakers. You know, you can read all the fear nots in the word of God, and there's many. Oh, but is your desire, Lord, give me a blessing. Show me a token for good. Seal a word into my heart. May I know it personally, the power of it. Not just the knowledge of it, the knowledge of the word of God and the effect that it's had on others, but oh, to feel it personally in our hearts, the word being applied. Fear not, Abraham. There was substance. There is substance behind these fear nots, friends. You know, if you're in trouble and you've well-meaning friends or relatives, they may try and offer you a word of sympathy. Oh, I'm sure you'll be all right. I'm sure you'll get through it. I'm sure you'll be okay. They mean well. Maybe they'll say, look, don't worry about it. But it doesn't really take away the worry, does it? You know they mean well. And you hope and pray, they're praying that the Lord will bring it about that it is well. But, oh, the fear not from fellow man, does it have any real effect? Oh, the difference. If the Lord says to you, fear not, what a promise in the word, Isaiah 41, fear not. Why? Fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Oh, that's it, isn't it? Fear not, Abraham. Why? Why? I am thy shield. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. You're cast down. You're dismayed that the ways is much rougher than you thought it would be. That the road is a lot more crooked. That it's a lot darker than you thought it might be. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am thy God. Thy God. The God of love. The God who cares for his people. The God who brings about in the lives of his people all those things that are necessary and right. Not a God of confusion that makes it up as he goes along. A God of order and a God of love. And what thy wisdom sees most fit surely must be good for me, must be best for me. Oh, then give me that heart submissive. Oh, I'm cast down. I've a disappointment. Oh, this has come upon me. I thought I could track out the way the Lord was leading me. That door's shut, and it's a door that's disappointing. It's a door that's causing sorrow and trouble to me. But be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and this is right for you. But more than that, it's needful for you. These things aren't brought about by chance. These are ordered by a God of love. Oh, to feel it. Oh, to feel it in our hearts that he's ordering all our footsteps by his grace. thou shalt hear a voice behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the left hand or to the right, what does that mean? We often quote the first part, don't we? Thou shalt hear a voice behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. But what is that? What is it in the context? It's someone on that right way. And they're tempted to turn to the left or the right. They're tempted to deviate off that path, because the way ahead feels to be one of confusion, maybe, or darkness, or difficulty, or trouble. But the Lord has said, this is the way, walk in. And when his children, left to themselves, begin to draw back a little, or begin to look to the right or the left and seek out an easier path, they will hear a voice behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Oh, friends, to have his voice giving us direction, to seek direction. Lord, is this the way? And if it be, oh, may I feel a persuasion that I'm on that right way. I'll say it again, Lord. This is the way. Walk ye in it. For really, do we? If you know and fear the Lord, do you really want to do anything? Anything to bring that cloud of sin between? Do you want to take any wrong step that may bring the rod upon you, or bring that separation, that felt separation? You can't separate yourself from the love of Christ. What a mercy that is. But you know, you can separate yourself from the feeling of it. You can take measures and steps in your life that are wrong, and the Lord will withdraw that sense of his presence. Wonderful. Wonderful that he won't utterly leave his people and depart from them. He cannot. He will not. Oh, but when he withdraws the sense of his presence, you know, you'll feel he's left you. Make no mistake about it. You'll wonder whether you ever were one of his, should he withdraw that sense of his love from you, and that peace, and that presence. Oh, you'll question, was I ever one of them? Such is his withholding of that sense. Oh, but we look to the doctrine, and it says, oh, there's a love, an everlasting love. But this seeking to walk rightly in our lives, seeking to walk according to his will, seeking submission and grace. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, these exceeding precious promises. For I am the Lord, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I will help thee. You know, when we read through the rest of this chapter 15, when Abraham seeks a sign, a token, that what the Lord has said will come to pass, is it revealed to him a perfect plain path? Is it one of ease that's revealed to him? Surely when we read what took place, we see the Lord showing him the things that must and will and did come to pass. In taking those various beasts, the heifer, the goat and the ram, and dividing them, You know, the ceremonial law wasn't brought in. This is before the Levitical law. But here we see the Lord pointing toward this sacrifice. There's a dividing of these beasts. And if you turn to the book of Jeremiah, there's a word in there which, it shows us the covenant, when the Lord made a covenant with his children. They had the sacrifice laid out. There was to be a going between the pieces of it. The children of Israel were to pass between it. The Lord would pass between it. And here, Abraham is given a promise. And then he seeks a sign and it will come to pass. And the Lord gives him a sign. But he reveals to him that his descendants will be taken into captivity. The promise, they will inherit the land where his feet were treading. Oh, but there was that captivity to enter into. 400 years. And these sacrifices, the dividing, the 3 years. I mean, there's many things we could go into this morning we haven't time for, but the 3 years, the 300 years, and then in the 400, they're delivered. The two birds that are not divided, the turtle dove and the young pigeon, the escaping, the fleeing, the eventual release from captivity. But beloved friends, the point is this. Lord, that God did not promise him a pathway of ease. That there was going to be tribulation. There was going to be sorrow. Times of sorrow. Times of trial. Times of grief. Oh, but it brings you back to that blessed promise. I am thy shield. I'm thy shield from the enemy you fear will come in revenge and take revenge for what you've done. And I'm thy shield in all the way yet for you to walk. All the things behind and all the things before. I am thy shield. And the loss, you've had to suffer and forego something. But I am thy exceeding great reward. I'll be in debt to no man. You won't suffer should you have to give up something. For I am thy exceeding great reward. And how the Lord appeared to him in that dark night, as a smoking furnace, that sign of the furnace, the fiery furnace that the children of Israel were to endure at the hands of the Egyptians, and the burning lamp, that symbol of the presence of the Lord, that would be that pillar of fire, a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. You know, this covenant he made, it was one-sided. Abraham wasn't in ceremony to pass between them. There was nothing for him to do but that burning lamp passing between the pieces, in that sign, a seal of that covenant. In that same day, the Lord made a covenant unto Abraham, and he sealed it. It was a sign to Abraham. Oh, and friends, you know, it's not wrong for us. If the Lord gives us a sweet promise, if he gives us a sweet fear not, if he gives us a promise that he will do something, or he has done something for us, it's not wrong to ask for a sign, for a token. Oh Lord, give me that seal to it. Lord, seal it into my heart. I mean, we don't want to tempt the Lord by seeking and not listening. Him granting us signs and we continually seeking more and more. But in the right frame of mind, as led by the Lord to plead, Lord, seal it into my heart. You have given me this promise. Oh, may it be burnt into my heart. Oh, may it remain as that promise that will endure the trial of temptation, the trial of my faith. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield. Oh, this sovereign protector, unseen, yet forever at hand. And Abraham was a witness to it. As he lived his life, yes, he had times of trouble. Yes, left to himself. He denied his own wife. When Abimelech, he entered into the land of Abimelech, he denied his own wife. He said she was his sister. And left to himself. You say, is this Abraham, whose faith was so great? It was accounted to him for righteousness, but you see, left to himself. Men, the best of men are only men at best. And without him we can do nothing. And Abraham must prove it. But the shield was there. Abimelech, there was a wall of fire around Sarah. He couldn't touch her. Though he sought to take her to himself for wife. Yet there was that wall of fire, that shield round, and a shield round Abraham. And oh, you and I, if the Lord seals that assurance in our heart that he's our shield and our exceeding great reward, you'll have to live and prove it. You'll be brought to places where, oh, you'll mourn your lack of faith. You'll mourn your inability to keep hold of things, to lay hold of things. You'll mourn your sins and your doubts and your fears and your unbelief. But one thing will be certain. He will remain. He will endure. He will not change. His love will not change. That covenant is fixed and fixed forever. And, oh, I am thy shield. Oh, to see the Lord Jesus himself as that shield for his people. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, speaks of it, doesn't he? He exhorts those Ephesians to take upon them the whole armour of God. Because there's a warfare, there's a conflict. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And he's given to his people the armour of God. Oh, and Paul exhorts them by prayer and supplication, beseeching the Lord daily that he'll equip them for this fight, this warfare, the conflict, which is in and around the soul of every child of God. And we do well to study those verses in Ephesians. Oh, and we do well to seek that the Lord would make us wise to these things. For how often we venture out without the whole armour on. We become complacent. We feel we can do things. We feel we can do without things. Oh, but to be made wise, to know the enemy, to see the conflict for what it is, and to be found looking to the Lord for all needed help. And he says, I am thy shield. And you know you'll need it. The Lord is giving you a fear not and a sweet promise. You're going to need a shield, beloved friends, because you're going to come under attack. You're going to be made a prey to Satan. You've put your head above the parapet. You've sought to profess the Lord's name, have you? Well, then, you've made, an enemy. Enemy, Satan's that great enemy, Antichrist. And a child of God who takes up his cross and follows the Lord Jesus is following the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan is Antichrist. An attack he will. Oh, but friends, I am thy shield. Oh, to look to him. He has made provision. You won't be found moaning that the armour was not good enough. You know, we've had a lot in the news recently, haven't we, of these this investigation into how the armies have been not well equipped enough in Afghanistan and in Iraq. Oh, but friends, the armour of God, of God's own providing, will stand the test. Oh, and by prayer and supplication, may we clad ourselves with it day by day, before we leave the house in the morning, pleading that the Lord would be our shield and our defence, for that this fiery darts of Satan, that he'll seek to fire at us. And then when we're weakened, when he sees that we've not taken our shield by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes in close and seeks to wound us and fight with us. Oh, but to be found fleeing for refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is a great rock in a weary land. And David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And this shield, oh, how suitable it is for the child of God. You know, it's no flimsy shield. It's no miniature shield. It's that complete shield. Oh, and it's able, more than able, to withstand the onslaught of Satan. And by faith, the child of God is enabled to wield it and is brought to value it and to see the need of it and be found sheltering behind it. You know, you think of the Church of God. You know, in the old battles they used to join their shields together, those big shields that were nearly as tall as the men who carried them. They used to link them together like a wall of defence. You know, that's how the Church of God should be. You know, Satan seeks to come into the Church of God. But when is the Church of God, fulfilling its in love and the righteousness of God is when they're standing firm in obedience to the will of God, when they're linked together, when they're joined together by faith, when love is flowing from eye to eye, and joy from heart to heart, when those shields are linked together, when they're all sheltering within, that the church is safe. It is standing, holding rank against the enemy, not seeking to bring in new things or deviate, but sticking and holding fast, standing firm against Satan. May it be so for the church here. May you each take up that shield daily. Lord, keep the enemy out from amongst us. Oh, be with us. Be that wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield. This sovereign protector. And a shield for this life. And what about for eternity? Oh, how able, how suitable the Lord Jesus Christ is to shelter his people. As a hen covereth her chicks, spreading his wings over his people, to take away the burning heat of the day here upon earth. But oh, how he stood before them, how he's gone before them in that, that great and final test. You know, when a child of God shuts their eyes on this life, and they launch into worlds unseen, how precious it is to that soul to feel he's gone on before. You know, if you're wielding a shield, it's got to be in front of you, hasn't it? If you're going one way, you want it in front. It's no good having it behind. It's got to go on before you. And how he has gone on before his people. He's made the rough places plain. He's walked that pathway for them. When thou passest through the waters, you see, it begins with another fear not. Fear not, for I've redeemed thee. Oh, I've bought thee with a great price. Oh, I've paid the price, the ransom price. The debt's paid. It was laid on me. Justice spent itself on me. As that shield, that hiding place, that covert from the tempest that should have rained down on you as a sinner, I was that shield, bearing all the punishment due to your sin. Dear child of God, what a shield. Oh, how able, how perfect to shelter in the sinner will find the dear Saviour. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Oh, the certainty of it. I will be with thee. Why? I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And whatever you have or have not in this life, dear child of God, may you be found seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, seeking those treasures that are in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Oh, for what we have or what we have not in this life will matter nothing. Providentially, these providential things will matter not. Oh, but to have a hope that we're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, to see him as that great prize, all the blessings of God treasured up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that fullness that resides in Jesus our head, all the blessings of the gospel, all the blessings of God, heaven itself in Christ Jesus. Oh, to seek that, to be found longing for that, pressing toward that mark. Oh, then let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus. For I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh, the great reward. For great is your sin and mine. Great is that mountain of sin. But oh, the Lord, to turn your eye from it and be able to look to him and he say, I have loved thee well, my child. Thou art mine. And all the blessings of heaven are yours. They're mine to give and they're given to you. To have a foretaste, a few sweet tastes here below, but to view, oh, the fullness that's in heaven. I am thy exceeding great, great reward. Oh, and it's great. For Almighty God uses the word great concerning this great reward. No exaggeration. Oh, great is the love. Great is that debt that's paid, but great is that love. And great are the blessings of God. When a poor sinner is lifted from the dunghill, when a sinner oppressed with sin and Satan is lifted up, given a little hope in him, oh, how great, how great, and how great is that love, oh, that flows from his heart. As the love of Christ flows in, the love of that poor sinner flows out in return. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, do you long for that great love, that great love. You say, oh, to be a partaker. We sang, didn't we, at the opening hymn, give me Christ, or else I die. That's the language of a seeking, longing soul. It's a language of a soul that's seeking the Lord Jesus to be that shield and that exceeding great reward. And oh, that the Lord hears and answers the poor prayers of poor trembling sinners. Oh, the loving welcome, as a soul is enabled to call on him, to plead his name, the loving welcome he receives. And great is that feeling, because he comes broken and of a contrite heart, and he comes empty, and his best is stained and dyed with sin. And he comes, nothing in my hand I bring. And he goes away full. His cup is overflowing. His heart is overwhelmed. The love of Christ is running over. My cup runneth over. What can I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Oh, this great, great love. Oh, great is the despair of a soul exercised with sin and feeling lost and ruined. There's nothing greater that can press upon a man, but oh, the greatness when the Lord turns and smiles. All thy sins are forgiven. Oh, the great extreme from the dunghill to be set among princes. Oh, this great reward. Great reward. Well, it's not, you won't be left feeling you've been rewarded for something. Don't mistake me. You won't go away having received from the Lord his kind hand, feeling, oh, he's rewarding you for your good behaviour. He's rewarding you for your diligence. He's rewarding you for your sin, for your righteousness. But He's granting you a great prize. Oh, and it's freely given. And it's undeserved. And it's greatly undeserved. And you'll be brought to feel greatly unworthy of it. Oh, but it's that great treasure. Oh, that a man, when he finds, he sells all that he has and he buys that field. It's that great prize, that great treasure. It's the greatest of gifts. Oh, this thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I am thy shield. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. My mind went to a hymn this morning, and it was this 5:4:7, verse 4. Then let the weaklings all be strong, take up their shield, nor fear, They shall be conquerors all, ere long, and crowns of victory wear. You'll have to pick that shield up by faith. You'll prove it. You'll be under an onslaught at times, not always, but at times. Oh, but the shield will hold firm. Oh, and you'll find safety behind it, safety within it. Oh, that safety of the people of God. And it's not in and of themselves. It's safety in another. What another has done to be found in him. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £735, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday School this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. And God willing, Mr. Pack will preach on Wednesday evening, as Mr. Jempson is too ill to come. And we think of him as he comes down in his last days. God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach next Lord's Day. Our friends at Penstanton hope to hold their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday evening, and at St. Ives, Thanksgiving service on Thursday evening. Let us close with hymn number 1100. Let worldly minds the world pursue, it has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace has set me free. Hymn 1100.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.